For those of you who have maybe missed some or, like me, got a short memory, we're going to do a really quick update. We started off in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 3 Sunday morning, and we looked at Paul telling this church, the one that he established, the one that he started, that, okay, you guys have been doing this for 6 years now. You're doing it wrong. You should be doing better. You need to grow up. You need to get moving. You need to keep growing. You need to start being able to the point where you can start doing more and not still needing the spiritual milk. You need to start moving on to bigger and better things. And then he goes on a little bit further and he said, you guys need to quit bickering. Quit finding problems. You need to quit worrying about Apollos and Paul. They're just servants just like you. You're called to be servants. And then he moved away from the gardening and things of that. And he went, yesterday we talked about Paul and Apollos and the end of them, and he told them that they need to get their life straight and they need to start building. They need to start building and they need to start putting their life in order, and they need to have that foundation of Jesus Christ. And so, right after he gets things going and he's telling them these things and he's telling them how they need to get started, he then just assumes from that point forward, you're going to start doing it. It's time, I've given you enough time to grow, it's time for you to realize what's going on. He's stern, he's frank, but he's assuming that when they get this message, they're going to take heed and they're going to start doing what he's talking about. He's just going to assume that. And so today's message, in this little bit here, going from 16 down to the end of the chapter, I picked out a couple warning signs that he throws out to these people that are going to start going into work and start going into action. And there's some things he wants them to take note of to make sure that when they go into their ministry and they go out into this world, and he's telling them that they, you know, in the past, they can't be worldly. They need to kind of have a spiritual sense. They need to have Christ as their foundation and they need to go out. But before they do so, they need to have a couple things in mind. And so he gives them some warning signs. So, if you're with me here in 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? So he's going back to the idea that you're God's building. God's Spirit lives in you. In verse 17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. This is big language. This is serious stuff. God will destroy him. Wow. Going on, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. You. The power of God is in you. Verse 18, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So I'm reading through here, and I picked up three things. Three warning signs as he's dismissing these folks to go, and he's telling them, it's time for you to be kingdom workers. It's time for you to go out and start doing things. And he's assuming they're going to go out and do it, but he wants to give them a little advice, and he wants to warn them of what's going to happen. I found an illustration that I thought was kind of funny. If you don't think it's funny, laugh anyway. It makes me feel good. It said there was two preachers standing on the side of the road, each holding a sign. Now, before I get too far, the only time I've ever seen it is when I visited Washington, D.C. But how many of you have ever seen those preachers that just get on the side of the road, or they get out in somewhere and they're holding up these crazy signs that are like some kind of like the end is near, you need to straighten your life out. Well, anyways, that's what these guys are. They're holding a sign and they're on the side of the road, and one man is holding a sign that says, the end is near. The road you're on leads to destruction. And the other preacher is holding a sign that says, turn around before it's too late. So as the car goes by, the driver leans out his window and yells, "Leave people alone, you religious nuts." From the curve, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. Shaking their heads, they looked at each other and one noted, "That's the third one today." "Yeah," the other one agrees. "Don't you think the sign should maybe just say the bridge is out?" Now, I don't know if you're really laughing or if you're just laughing because I told you to, but thanks anyway. Now, how many of you... Okay, trying to switch back over to serious. How many of you ever seen a road sign that said something along the lines of "the road is out" or something or another? What happens if you decide to go ahead and not listen to what the sign says? If you don't take the advice of someone that put that sign there, you got to assume that they put it there for a reason. What do you put yourself in danger of? Problems. You give warnings out to people because you have their best interests in mind, and that's what Paul does here. He's got these people's best interests at mind, and he gives them some warnings. And he's hoping they take heed. He's hoping that they listen to him. So the same things that he told them, I want to go over today with you. And if you don't take heed, you're headed for a crash. So I said, there's three warnings that I picked up that I want to see. You probably could pick out a couple more. But starting in verse 16 and 17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred. And so he just gets done talking about this building. And we talked about the wise builder and the foolish builder. And we were given the responsibility to build. He tells you that we're supposed to build, and we're supposed to build with the right materials. Our job is to build up, not tear down. We've been given the mission to build, not tear down. And now, I don't know how many of you have ever used a sledgehammer. At first, it's kind of fun. After a while, it gets a little bit of work, and it's not quite so fun. But it's so much easier to go to a wall and take a sledgehammer to it and put a hole and tear it down and make a big mess than it is to put the wall up, isn't it? And apparently, I think it's fun, but I was asking Aaron and Wally back there what the name of the guy was that smashes the watermelons, and they said it's Gallagher. Apparently, he makes some good money going around and smashing things, because people like, it's fun to smash. It's fun to tear down. It's fun to break. It's easy. But in reality, when it's coming to the church, when it's talking about God's building, when it's talking about us as individuals, when we're supposed to be building ourselves up, it also would give the idea that we're supposed to build each other up. If I am God's building, and you are God's building, if I tear you down, am I not tearing down God's building? He gives a warning sign here. We are to build, as we build our lives, once we get our lives kind of going and building in the right, going in the right direction, it's then our responsibility to go out and start helping other people build up. Not tear down. And here he's already going through these people that are bickering and fighting with each other, and he's trying to get it through their head, and you know, he starts to kind of reiterate some points. And if he says it more than once, you got to assume it's there for a reason. I mean, although it gets a little redundant, you heard me say the same thing two nights ago, but Paul said it twice. I'll say it twice. It's important that we work together and we're aiming to build each other up, not tear each other down. It's so much easier to pull people down. It's easy to say a bad word about someone. It's easy to gossip and share things that may or may not be true. It's easy to call names, to get frustrated and do things that you'll later regret. But our job, our mission is to be builders, not destruction crew. So as we aim to build up, we got to do it, and we got to do it right. Because just like today we have got people out there that are trying to do things and trying to tear people down. And there's people out there that are trying to spread false truths, which I guess can't even be right. They're sending false doctrines. And he just got done telling them about laying the foundation on the right track, right? He gave us the one right foundation. What was the one foundation? One person listened last night. Go ahead. What's the foundation? Two, three, four. We'll keep going until everyone got it, because that we need. This is a big point. What's the foundation?
Jesus Christ.
It's better. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Flip over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Here, Jesus is speaking to Peter. Matthew 16, and you look at verse 18, we'll start in 17, and we'll go a little further. Jesus asks, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And he's asking Peter, "Who do you say that I am? And I'm not worried about what all these other people think or say. Who do you say that I am?" 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, that this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. I tell you that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." On this rock, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the foundation, the one foundation that we are called to build upon, not tear down. Not tear down. And the things that you say and the things that you do, be careful. Be careful. Think about the things that you're going to say. Think about the things that you're going to do. And make sure that you're putting a positive spin. That you're putting a positive light on people. Not a negative. Because we're called to build, not to tear down. All right, flip back over to 1 Corinthians 3. I didn't give you a warning this time because we've done this enough. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 this time. "Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." There's a lot of people out there that think they're pretty smart. And there's a lot of people out there that will tell you they're pretty smart. But the wisest of all men doesn't compare to the wisdom of God. And our wisest people, the wisest man that ever walked the earth, Scripture gives us that's probably Solomon. The wisest man was absolutely foolish compared to God. But what you also see is that the things of God to this world are absolutely foolish. We talked about that a little bit a couple nights ago. That people don't understand the things of God. And if they don't understand the things of God, they're going to think that it's foolish. But the idea is that if this world thinks they're smart, and you know the Bible says that God's smart, we look at a little predicament here. Because we've got to make a choice to decide which one is right. Which one is wise, which one is foolish. And I'm just going to go ahead and guess that most of you are going to agree that God's clearly wiser than man. But what do you need to do in order to be wise also? What do we have to do? And although it sounds kind of funny, what the Scripture says is that we need to become foolish. Now, that doesn't sound like a great idea. The Greek word here, I'm by far no Greek scholar, but the Greek word here for fool is moros or moros.
which is where we get the word moron. I looked up the definition of the word moron, and it said it is defined as a person who is notably stupid. I hate that word. Notably stupid or lacking in good judgment. I don't want people to think that of me. But if that's what God has called me to do, in the eyes of this world that may look at me and say, I don't understand why he goes to church. I don't understand why he puts his faith in a God that I can't see. I don't know why he puts his money in an offering plate. I don't know why he spends his time helping others. I don't know why he spends so much time reading his Bible or praying or doing something like that. I don't understand that. And so to them, that seems foolish. I'm okay with them thinking I'm foolish because I do those things. And I hope that you'd feel the same way. If someone thinks that's foolish, if this world wants to claim that me believing in my God, if they want to think that that's foolish, if they want to think that me living like Christ is foolish, then I'm okay with that too. See, to the world, the things that cause us to trust in God are absolutely stupid, foolish, unwise in the eyes of this world. They don't understand the virgin birth. If you haven't heard anything about Christianity, if you haven't heard anything about the Bible and someone told you that, you'd be a little wondering what's going on too. It's confusing. People don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand eternal life. They don't understand eternal death. But when you realize that you're a lost sinner and that you need to be saved from that death, and the only thing that can make that happen is believing in the one true God, and His one true Son. Doesn't matter if people think you're foolish. Although it sounds funny, Paul is telling these people that you need to be foolish in the eyes of this world. Don't get so caught up in what other people think or what other people say. Don't get caught up in that. And that's where he goes on a little bit further here. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos." He's going back into this Paul and Apollos thing. And he's challenging them, where's your devotion? Are you spending all your time trying to please other people? Are you trying to please someone else? Are you trying to please other servants? Are you trying to please people in the church, people outside the church, your boss, your friend, your parents? It's easy to do, to get caught up in making sure that we please other people and that other people are happy. Like I told you Sunday morning, that I like to be liked. Am I doing things that are wrong just because I want people to like me? We can't do that. We can't try to go out there and get other people to like us and then drop what we believe and not stand for what's right. But he looks at these people and he's telling them that you're looking for ways to cause problems. You're going out of your way to make things bad. Quit putting your devotion towards men and focus on God and what He asks of you. In Mark 9, the disciples come to Jesus and they talk about these people that are talking about Jesus and doing things, but they've never met and they haven't been with Him before. And these men are like, should we stop them? Jesus says, they're for us. If they're not against us, they're for us. If they're for us, they're not against us. We're working on the same team. We're called to build each other up, not tear each other down. People that are of Christ, those that are in Christ, those that are in God, we're working together for one thing. And so, Paul is challenging these folks, and he's telling them, and he's not holding back. He's telling them the way it is. You guys aren't getting it. You guys are going about it wrong. You're too focused on things of this world. You're being too worldly, and it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to grow. It's time for you to become the people that God wants you to be. It's time for you to be servants. It's time for you to go out. It's time for you to do these things. And he gives them a little bit of warning. He gives them a little bit of preparation as you go out. Make sure that you're building people up, not tearing them down. Make sure that you're not falling into the deceptive wisdom of this world. Make sure you're standing by what is true and what is right. Standing on the information that Christ shared with you, that I shared with you. Don't listen to these other folks that are trying to get things wrong. And don't put your devotion in other people. Don't put your devotion in men or women. He offers these warnings. And just as the little joke in the beginning of the preachers holding signs, He hands a warning out to you and those that don't take heed. Those that fall into those traps, fall into those problems. The road they're on leads to destruction. We've got a solid foundation. God gave us a solid foundation. Jesus Christ. We are to build His church. Build His people. Build our life. Build our faith. To go out and live as Christ lived.